Brady Sarr, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services, Erskine. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network, CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Jamie Dickerman in studio. We'll have an update from Tyler Donaldson as well. USDA will be releasing its highly anticipated acreage and grain stocks reports today. Market volatility is expected. Ag Bull Media founder and owner Tommy Grisafi says traders should be prepared for big swings.
Yeah, I'm scared, but I will say, if you're worried about the market dropping, Jamie, maybe they've already dropped. Maybe, you know, maybe could we, is it possible we go limit up? Can we go limit down? Oh, Lord. We're going to move. You know, it's the end of the month, end of the quarter. Big reports. You are right. People are getting seriously in the holiday mode with the fourth being later in the week. So I think we're going to trade a few days. We'll trade the report Monday, a little bit Tuesday. And I think people pack up the station wagon and get the heck out of here.
Grisafi says markets may not react the way some expect, especially when factoring in outside influences.
Talk the optimistic side. I don't know if you've looked, but the stock market's absolutely exploding. Dow Jones, S&P, NASDAQ, all real close to all-time highs or at all-time highs. I've lost track because they are just absolutely on fire. I don't know what to say about it, but the world didn't end. If someone had taken money out of their 401k because the tariffs and everything else, oftentimes, I'm just going to say my own opinion. You have your own. People think with President Trump, the world's going to end. And regardless who's president, the world usually doesn't end.
Ahead of USDA's acreage report, a new survey from Kleist Commodity Advisors and Successful Farming shows U.S. farmers planted over a million more corn acres than USDA had previously projected. The combined corn and soybean acreage now estimated at 179.3 million acres, up from 178.8 million in USDA's March report, with most of the gain coming from a 500,000-acre drop in spring wheat. Kleist Commodity Advisors Managing Director Al Kleist says the higher corn acreage could lead to increased production and larger ending stocks, which would likely pressure prices.
The U.S. Senate will begin its Votorama this morning at 8 o'clock Central Time, setting up for a vote today on President Trump's big, beautiful bill. After lawmakers work through a large number of amendments, there will be a final vote on budget reconciliation. There will be a procedural vote to make the 2017 tax cuts permanent. Senate Republicans want to use an accounting maneuver where the tax cuts wouldn't count towards the budget deficit in the same way new tax cuts would. The agriculture portion of the bill cuts spending for SNAP by increasing work requirements and a shifting of the portion of the SNAP costs over to the states. It also increases spending for some farm programs, including an update in crop reference prices.
The latest language in the Senate budget reconciliation bill tweaks the 45Z clean fuel production credit. It maintains it improves on language that passed in the House saying only North American feedstocks could benefit from the credit. It also eliminates the penalty for indirect land use, which is seen as positive news for soybean and canola growers.
If the Senate passes that budget reconciliation bill today as expected, it must return to the House for another vote before going to the president's desk. Wednesday morning would be the first opportunity for a House vote. Congress is working on a fast track to meet a self-imposed Independence Day deadline.
Parts of the Red River Valley in northwest Minnesota may see a few light showers today with less than a tenth of an inch of rain expected. Strong northwest winds, though, gusting over 30 miles per hour, will keep high temperatures below 80 degrees. Skies will clear by late evening. Tomorrow and Wednesday bringing a stretch of dry, sunny weather with highs in the mid to upper 70s. Rain chances return for the latter half of the week, especially Friday, when a low-pressure system moves in ahead of the Independence Day weekend.
Southern Brazil saw excessive weekend rainfall causing localized flooding in Santa Catarina and northern Rio Grande do Sul. While drier weather is expected this week, the persistent rain in southern Brazil continues to delay corn drying and maturation, especially in Paraná, São Paulo, Mato Grosso do Sul, and parts of Paraguay. Meanwhile, Brazil's center-west cropland will remain dry over the next 2 weeks, which may help with the safrinha crop maturation and harvest. In Argentina, dry conditions persist in western wheat areas, with no rain expected for at least 10 days, slowing planting and emergence. Cold temps and light snow forecast in southwestern Argentina and southern Chile, but no crop harm is expected.
Workers at Tyson Foods beef plant in Amarillo, Texas, have voted overwhelmingly to authorize a strike. The local Teamsters Union, representing about 3,100 employees, approving the move by 98% margin, demanding higher wages and better benefits. The Amarillo factory processing around 6,000 cattle a day. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. With warmer weather, here comes the weeds. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has the story.
NDSU Extension weed specialist Joe Eichley shares an update on weeds in the fields throughout the state.
Yeah, so most areas of the state have gotten plenty of precipitation, moisture at this point in the year. So the weeds are there, and they've been there for a while and have been growing. But overall, we've been in a relatively cooler weather pattern. So weeds are there and growing, but haven't been growing as fast as we might expect most typical Junes. So now that we have had some heat, and now we're on the longest days of the year, these weeds are set to start growing rapidly. And so for fields that have not had herbicide applications or need additional herbicide applications, we're in a really critical time of the year for making those.
Now that soybeans are starting to develop a canopy, that changes the type of herbicides that can be used.
Yep, so once we get to the solstice, that's when we start thinking now we'll have shorter nights. Soybeans are going to start thinking about flowering. And so once we start getting flowers in soybean, that becomes a cutoff stage for some of our important herbicides. Top one on my mind is glufosinate. So Liberty 280 or Liberty Ultra now will be the main brand, but plenty of generic options out there. But the labels say up to R1 is when we can apply.
And Eichley says water hemp remains an issue this year.
Yes, yeah, so it's been a tremendous year for water hemp, if you're water hemped. It's not really been a fun one if you're trying to fight it. So we've seen a lot of germination early in the year, so we certainly have been battling that one. So hopefully we had some residual products on. In many cases, we've had an early post-emergence application by now as well. But considering that we still have a long way to go till canopy closure on these fields, basically any additional rainfall events, we expect some water hemp will germinate until we get canopy closure. Considering throwing in additional residual herbicide, usually a group 15 is what we're discussing when it comes to trying to catch additional water hemp. We don't always need that type of a program if you don't have a water hemp issue, but for those battling water hemp, we do anticipate until the canopy closes, any additional rainfall will stimulate additional germination, and we're just trying to keep those late season water hemp from coming up and being an issue.
For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
Consolidation continuing in the seed business, Argentina-based GDM will acquire AgReliant Genetics. AgReliant Genetics was founded 25 years ago as a joint venture by KWS and Lima Grain. The current AgReliant brands are AgriGold, LG Seeds, and Pride Seeds. With the deal, GDM will be the fourth largest corn genetics provider worldwide. It is already the leading global soybean genetics firm. This acquisition is subject to regulatory approval, and the two companies will operate independently until those approvals are satisfied.
Mustang Seeds is expanding its footprint in the upper Midwest, bringing the corn, soybean, and alfalfa business of Legacy Seeds under the Mustang brand. Regional General Manager Terry Schultz says the transition strengthens both dealer networks and seed offerings.
The folks out of the Wisconsin northern region will be joining our sales team in the north, selling Mustang brand, delivering same quality type seeds, but moving into some of our genetics as well in corn, soybeans, and alfalfa seeds. They will be getting a new brand. It'll be the Mustang brand that they will be selling here going into the 26 planting year.
Schultz says current dealers and customers will keep working with their existing reps, but benefit from added data and support through this alignment.
Just kind of growing our Mustang family and footprint, and probably a lot more data points for customers as they are, you know, looking for the best performing seeds in the north. And I think the combination of Legacy and Mustang coming together under the Mustang brand will give that customer a lot more information and know-how behind our seed products.
The Midwestern Association of State Departments of Agriculture annual meeting began yesterday in Medora, North Dakota, hosted by Ag Commissioner Doug Goring of North Dakota. The event runs through July 2nd and will bring together state and federal ag officials along with leaders from the agriculture and energy sectors. MASDA includes ag leaders from 13 Midwestern states, and all members of NASDA were invited.
Trade talks between the U.S. and India have stalled, raising doubts about reaching a trade deal before President Trump's July 9th deadline to implement new reciprocal tariffs. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture here on the Red River Farm Network. Brazil is wrapping up harvest on its Safrinha corn crop and reporting record yields of 95 bushels an acre. That may sound low by U.S. standards, but Soybean and Corn Advisor President Michael Coronier says context is key here.
Well, you got to remember that the farmers in Brazil live and die by soybeans. This second crop of corn is just icing on the cake. If you get your soybeans harvested on time and get the stuff in your corn planted, you don't save the farm by the corn crop. It's by the soybeans. So this is just a real bonus to have that much yield. And that yield keeps going up. But the seed companies saw the potential that they developed very short maturing hybrids suitable for central Brazil, and now it's keep going up. So, yeah, 95 bushel corn isn't much to brag about, but it's coming after 70 bushel soybean. So that's what makes the big difference.
Despite the bumper crop, Brazil's corn exports expected to decline. Cordonier says the growing ethanol industry soaking up more of the domestic supply.
I can tell you why. It's because they're doing so much corn for ethanol. Right now, about 20% of the ethanol in Brazil comes from corn. And they're building plants as fast as they can. And they're going to use about 20 million tons of corn to make ethanol, up from zero about 7-8 years ago. The ethanol production using corn is going up faster than the corn production is going up. Next year, they think it's going to be very, very profitable. So it's just going to keep getting bigger and bigger.
20% of Brazil's ethanol now made from corn, and that figure rising fast as new plants come online.
An important milestone happening today here at the Red River Farm Network. After 17 years with the network, Randy Conan is retiring today. Randy reflects on his career here at the Red River Farm Network.
You work with great people, and in my case, had a chance to work with you and Mike Hergert both as mentors. And, so it was a learning experience for me constantly. And then the best part about it, though, is the people that we're serving, the farmer listeners, even business people listeners that come up and say hi and get a chance to meet them, get a chance to know them a little better. And it's just a fun family all the way around.
Randy will still help on a project basis, including this year's Big Iron Farm Show. On behalf of everyone here at the Red River Farm Network, we will miss Randy's voice here on our airwaves each day, but we do wish him and Deb nothing but the best in the future. Checking markets, we are looking at Minneapolis wheat gaining 1.25, the market for July at 6.08. Chicago wheat for July down 0.25. The hard red winter wheat July 0.25 higher as well. For corn, 4.17.5, even money. New crop down 2.75 cents. Soybeans, July 10.29.25, 1.5 higher. New crop, a gain of 3.25. Of course, that acreage report out at 11. We'll have details here on the Red River Farm Network. On the farm calendar, FFA Day with the Twins, Minnesota Twins versus the Pittsburgh Pirates, will be held on July 13th. You can contact your state FFA organization for more details. And the South Dakota Stock Growers Association has its annual convention in Rapid City, July 14th through the 16th. This is the Red River Farm Network.